You're listening to New England Public Media News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPM's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, Carrie Saldo, WGBH Worcester Bureau reporter, and Chris Collins, contributing editor with the website Franklin County Now. Carrie, Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
This week, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker eased some COVID-19 restrictions. Starting Monday, businesses such as restaurants, casinos, and liquor stores will be allowed to stay open past 9:30 p.m., although a 25% capacity limit will still be in place. Here's Baker.
Vaccines are reaching residents. Positive case rates and hospitalizations have stabilized. Those trends are moving in the right direction. As a result, we believe it's okay and it's time to start a gradual easing of some of the restrictions we put in place in the fall.
A stay-at-home advisory, which called for residents to stay home from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. daily, will also come to an end. Carrie, some, including State Representative Mindy Dom of Amherst, are questioning the timing of this move. Is it too soon?
Well, I mean, certainly Baker is trying to contain the uncontainable in many ways, right? Massachusetts has been had high rates of COVID-19 almost from the beginning of this pandemic. And certainly Representative Dom thinks it's too soon. I mean, as a parent of a small child, I've had a curfew now for almost 2 years, which is 5 p.m. So curfew or not, we're not going anywhere in this household anytime soon.
Chris, businesses are struggling. Are these changes going to do much of anything to help them?
I don't know. I was kind of struck by how quickly this came about, because it was about a week and a half ago, we kept hearing how rates were at an all-time high. And now suddenly, a week and a half later, we're reducing some of the restrictions. I hope that Baker isn't jumping the gun here, but I understand that, you know, there's got to be some relief for these businesses. And it's possible, I would say likely, that with the new administration in Washington, some more relief is going to be on the way, more specific relief for some of these business owners. Whether it'll be too late or not, I have no idea. I'm really concerned we're not going to have a restaurant industry in this country and in the state by the time this is all over.
Also this week, a Massachusetts legislative panel continued oversight hearings as it looks into the deadly COVID-19 outbreak at the Holyoke Soldiers Home. This week's session focused on what role staffing might have played in the tragedy at the state-run facility, where more than 70 veterans died. That question was posed to Health and Human Services Secretary Mary Lou Sutters.
I think more fundamental is that there was not the internal processes, clinical management and operations to withstand a pandemic.
The Soldiers Home superintendent and medical director are facing criminal charges over the outbreak. Chris, your thoughts on what lawmakers have been finding out?
I think what I'm interested in is, what did the state know and when did they know it? I mean, you've got a he said, she said thing going on here where you've got Bennett saying he called for help and nobody responded. And then you got the National Guard saying we never got a call. So I think that at the very least, there needs to be some kind of a procedure or some kind of a reckoning as to exactly how this got off the rails as quickly as it did. That being said, you're dealing with a virus that's highly contagious in a contained area with vulnerable populations. I'm not saying it was inevitable that people would die, but that would have been to contain if you had just healthy people in there, too.
Carrie, this has been and has been the subject of several investigations. What do you see coming out of this legislative committee when all of this is done, if anything?
I would love to say I'm an eternal optimist and clarity and forward motion, but the sobering reality of this situation is there have been challenges at the Soldiers Home that we all in the local media have known about and reported about for years. Going back to former Superintendent Paul Barbani, who raised staffing challenges issues before he left, before he retired. He also spoke then, and we're going back more than 5 years ago, a need for facility upgrades. And all of these things are still being talked about in 2021.
If you're going to see any relief, you're going to see staffing levels altered. That will be the first thing that they'll go after. Try and set some kind of a specific number that these homes have to have on staff at all times. That would be one way the legislature could enact immediate change.
On a bit of a lighter note, as the pandemic continues, many of us have turned to binge-watching shows to pass the time, and that's led to something of a boost for the Massachusetts film industry. There are a number of shows being filmed in the state, or some that have plans to do so. Carrie, you reported on this and even talked to a company which supplies props to some of these productions. Fill us in.
Yeah, it's a really fun place. Westerman's, actually, interesting backstory. They were a restaurant supply company, and that is their was their bread and butter for many years. Now, during the pandemic, it's really this props business that's propping them up, no pun intended. And it got started as a lark. Shutter Island, when it filmed in Massachusetts years ago, needed a vintage kitchen, and a restaurant supply store seemed like the right place to go to. And here we are now. This pandemic has meant that they've shifted their business model, and they're the prop supplying that they're doing to all of these film and streaming services that are happening here in Massachusetts is allow them to bring people back on staff within 6 weeks of the shutdown, which was, you know, as we know, rapid, very rapid compared to other businesses.
And Chris, two Franklin County towns, Shelburne and Buckland, are slated to be included in the next round of filming for the popular show Dexter. What kind of impact will that have on these communities?
Well, I think this is not exactly new experiences for these communities. I mean, The Judge was shot in Shelburne Falls. There have been moments where there have been exterior shooting done. I think it's really a credit to the State Film Bureau that they're able to attract some of these shows. But I think that the locals there will take it in stride, as they did with The Judge. But, you know, that was a major motion picture. The Dexter thing will be more like, I think, what Orange went through when they were filming Castle Rock over there. It's always good. It's always exciting to see the home areas on the little screen or the big screen. So I think people will enjoy it.
And Carrie, as you were reporting, there are actually some Central Mass communities also involved in that Dexter shoot.
Yeah, the New England Studios, which is a place that you can just go and rent soundstage space or just facilities that support the streaming industry or the television industry. It's a massive facility there. And Showtime and Amazon are both currently filming there for several months, at least into the spring. So they get all that binge watching. You don't have to feel guilty about it, Adam. It's doing good things in Massachusetts.
All righty, Carrie Saldo with WGBH and Chris Collins with Franklin County Now. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Shortlist, NEPM's Week in Review. You can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepm.org/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Media.